Well, welcome to Restoring Home, where we talk about marriage, parenting, and faith. And today's topic, we're going to discuss good reads for little ones. We're going to talk about reading books to our kids and how important that is, how powerful that is. And we're going to give you some great suggestions on books that we have read and that we know of that are really wonderful, both for little ones as well as for adolescents. Reading is a wonderful gift that we have, and to read with our kids and read to our kids does a whole lot between us and for them. And so my guest today is my wife, Donna, who was the reader in our home and homeschool our five kids. And during those years, you must have read,
I have no idea,
50 feet high stack of books. You read so many books to the kids, and they loved them. It was tens of thousands of pages, I guess, you read over the years. And so, Donna, you haven't, just people don't know you, but you have a special education degree that you were pursuing when I met you. So you have some education and background in that area of education. And plus you have 30 years of teaching kids,
yeah.
30 years
to
of teaching
teach
kids.
A long time.
Yeah.
We just finished last year.
Yeah, finally got through all that. And all of them went on, and those who entered college, we have three master's degrees in the family, and we have had our kids have gone on to enjoy study, learning, and reading.
Mm-hmm. And that was my goal, that they would love learning and know how to learn.
Yeah. And mission accomplished on that. So today I'd like you to talk a little bit about, share some of the story. And we're going to share some stories. We have some books here, so we're going to share a few of the stories. Mm-hmm. But first of all, just talk some about your childhood, education, reading, whatever your background was, and how you moved into and what you did with our kids for reading.
Well, I mean, really, I didn't think much about books at all. I remember in fourth grade, we had to get a book from the library and read it. I think that was when I read Across Five Aprils. It was from the Civil War. It's kind of interesting to me. And then I think the next book I got out was Christie, that impacted my whole life. I mean, I ended up going to Appalachia on a service project when I was in high school, twice, two summers.
Mm-hmm. And Christie is a story of a school teacher,
a young girl
who went to Appalachia.
Who went when she was 18 or 19, yeah, to Appalachia. She was from Asheville, North Carolina, and went up into the more remote mountains. Mm-hmm. And they've made a TV series from it. It was just, I loved it. I loved it so much. I was just amazed.
And then you went in high school to
Appalachia. Yeah, I went in high school. Mm-hmm. And really, I ended up on the mission field. And so, I don't know, I just feel like that book really set a tone for my life. Yeah. At that time, I wasn't even following God, but it went deep.
Yeah, stories are powerful.
They really are. Yeah. But in college, I was in a class called Children's Literature, and the teacher, she was an amazing teacher, but she had everybody go around first day and tell a story, a book that their parents had read to them that was special to them. Mm-hmm. I was listening and I was enjoying it so much because I was like, oh, I've never read that book. That sounds so sweet. I want to read that book. And it was getting closer to me and I was like, did my mom read to me? I don't know. I don't think so. And then I thought, Green Eggs and Ham. I know that book. That was the only thing I could think of, and I do think we had that book in our house. So it made me realize, wow, that is a missing piece, and I want to make sure that I read to my kids, to our kids. And so that just became really important. And of course, then I started learning about homeschooling, and Charlotte Mason is a name that comes up. Her name, she's from the 1800s, late 1800s in England, and she was an educator and really very innovative. Her idea was, let your teaching spring from living books, books that nonfiction or fiction that make a difference in our lives. Mm-hmm. And she also was out in nature a lot. And another really important aspect was to have the kids narrate back to you what they heard you say as you told the story. And so that's really good for them to learn to tell story and understand flow of story. Mm-hmm. So those kind of influenced me and helped me come up with some list. And during our homeschool years, we also used things like Sunlight, which has a wonderful book list, and classical conversations. So these are things that there's some book lists that we can mm-hmm. definitely get out to people so that they have some classics and some mm-hmm. really good new ones as yeah. well.
And we'll put some of those in the notes after the video below yeah. so people can look forward to getting a list of books that we won't talk about, although we have some good ones we right. want to introduce to them. But there's a great list and a lot of helpful resources. Yeah. There are many good-looking books that aren't good books.
Yeah.
And there are some books that are just truly wonderful, instill values and mm-hmm. morals and good decision-making skills
right.
and healing as well. I use mm-hmm. them in my counseling. I use some children's books, and I'll introduce a couple of them today,
mm-hmm.
children's books in my counseling
yeah.
that helps us with as adults. Because some things we were supposed to get as children, we didn't.
Yeah.
So to go back and to get those truths at a children's level somehow mm-hmm. begins the healing and mm-hmm. helps us begin to think and act properly and feel
yeah.
properly as adults.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about what you do with the kids. Did you read every day? Did you read just mm-hmm. at school? How did you do it? I remember a couch in our house
yeah,
that was worn out from kids sitting with mom as she read. In
and
fact, it started to sag.
I would fall asleep while I was reading.
Yeah, that's true.
We also, I think the thing that they remember the most is when we would go outside and just mm-hmm. take a blanket, put it outside, sit there and read our story,
mm-hmm.
this Little House on the Prairie. I mean, even our boys loved Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
Farmer Boy was a favorite, but they loved Pa, and they loved seeing what new thing he was building or doing as he led the family. So those Hobbit, all kinds of, you know, from little kids to big kids, we read together up
mm-hmm.
through high school,
mm-hmm.
and we loved it. Such
yeah.
a sweet memory. And when the kids think about homeschooling, that's the part they love.
The reading, yeah.
Not math necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but you know, they got their math done too, but
mm-hmm.
they love the reading the stories together.
Yeah.
And you can have kids of all ages, even if it's a little bit hard for a younger kid,
mm-hmm.
you can still be reading a story and stop and explain
mm-hmm.
it to them. They
I think
can learn to listen.
There's something to, it's hard to get kids' attention. Especially
mm-hmm.
if they have been on video games and things that move quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so reading, beginning early, seems to be one way to get kids' attention. And they sort of, at least my observation is that when they have the routine of reading,
mm-hmm.
that they can, when it becomes reading time, they can shift gears.
Mm-hmm.
They can slow down and focus.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something they're not used to, it's a little more work.
Yeah.
To get them to
yeah,
focus.
You want
to
start out with shorter stories, that,
mm-hmm.
that something that they already are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But they can learn. They'll learn and then
mm-hmm.
they'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll want to hear the next story or the next part.
Mm-hmm. There's a book you've got here you can show people. It's called You Are Special by
yeah.
Max Licato. I love this book. I use it in my counseling, actually, a bigger version of it. But this
yeah.
has got thick, thick
mm-hmm.
Cardboard pages, so it's for little ones or smaller ones to handle.
Yeah.
Great illustrations, very important. And the story is amazing. Yeah, tell us about the story.
So basically, Eli is a wood carver, and there's a little wooden character called Punchinello, and he's not so perfect like the other people in the community. And Punchinello is sad because he has all these dots on himself. I don't know where I'm supposed to be showing
yeah.
you or who.
You can show up to this camera over here, maybe.
And in this little Wemmicksville, I think it's called, they have dots and stars, which they just decided on their own that they would give out to one another. And of course, a star meant you did good. A dot was, you didn't look so good, or you said the wrong thing. So people get stars and dots. But Lucia doesn't have any sticking to her. And Punchinello is like, how come you don't have any stars and dots? And she said, oh, that's because I go visit Eli, the woodcarver. And so she says, go talk to him, and then you'll understand. So he goes and talks to Eli, and I love this part. It says, Punchinello, the voice was deep and strong. How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. Punchinello looked up. You know my name? Of course, I made you. Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. Looks like you've been given some bad marks, said the maker. I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are pretty special. Mm. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I'm not very talented and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter? Eli spoke very slowly. This book always chokes me up. Because you're mine. That's why you matter. Punchinello didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met Lucia, said Punchinello. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about those stickers. Mm-hmm. Well, that just gives you kind of the gist of how beautiful that story is.
And the book again, You Are Special, Max Licato. This is a small version, and Max is a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. And he makes great, he's a great writer, of course, but he has a lot of children's books, and just about any of his children's books are great. So this is one I use all the time. It's such a special message.
Yeah.
Good. And illustrates a deep truth. Yeah. And so that's the kind of stories we want to be reading to our children. They're not all preachy, but they contain truth in stories. And, you know, our media and Hollywood have learned the power of story. That story, within story, you can include morals, values, ethics, you can faith and beliefs. You can put those within a story and kids receive them and accept them. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's very important that parents read these things, because it's like hearing it from you, from the parent, that they have a connection with anyway.
And then you have a way of talking about, you know, when someone comes home and so-and-so said such and such, and then you can say, oh, well, that's a dot.
That's a dot,
you can reject it, you know, what does it matter?
That's right.
You know, it's what the maker thinks of you.
There's a little story that a book that I have set aside here that I love.
I love it.
Sidney and Norman, it's about two pigs. I know that's not very kosher, guys, but it is super. And it's a little story, it says, A Tale of Two Pigs. And one of the guys, Sidney, is kind of a slouch and a goof up, and he just doesn't do well.
Struggles to get out of bed and do what he needs to do.
Yeah, he just kind of has a hard time in life. And the other guy, Norman, has it all together. Mm-hmm. He's very ordered, organized, and he just does everything perfectly. And so they're neighbors, and they get to know one another through the story. And then one day they're both called in school. They're called up to the principal's office. And this is what Sidney, who's the kind of the guy who is always making mistakes and goofing up.
They're actually called to have a meeting with God.
Well, he's called the principal at first.
Oh.
Yeah. And then so he says that Sidney, he says he trudged down the sidewalk and suddenly was back in school, a little pig headed down the long hall toward the principal's office. Hands sweating, heart racing, doomed. And you can sense his feeling there. He'll see right through me, Sidney thought as he turned into Elm Street. My messes, my mistakes, everything. And then he was there. Though he had walked as slowly as he could, he was there in the principal's office. So Sidney stopped inside. He tried to say something to the woman at the front desk, but found he couldn't speak. She smiled and motioned him to a heavy wooden door down the hall. He gulped. A few moments later, he stood before the door. He wanted to run away. He wanted to hide, but there was no place to go and nothing to hide behind. So, hat in hand, he pushed open the door and slipped inside. And there, beside the desk, was God. Sidney gulped again. I'm glad you have come, God said, smiling. And Sidney tried to respond, but he could not make a noise. I want to tell you something, God continued as he came around the desk. And Sidney glanced around nervously. Maybe if he apologized. First of all, God began, I love you. Mm-hmm. Sidney startled, surprised. Secondly, God continued in a quieter voice, I love you. Suddenly, Sidney was gripping his hat with a less tightly now. And thirdly, God paused, very close to Sydney. I love you. The look in God's eyes warmed Sydney right down to his toes. That's what I wanted to tell you, God said. And he stepped back toward his desk, still smiling. That is the message we need to hear. And that's the story that Sydney, the mess up, the goof up, needed to hear. And Norman got to visit as well, and he heard what he needed to hear. Great little book. Great story.
Find out what he said to Norman.
You got to read the book to find it out. That's right. Great book. And you, if you feel, you know, if your kid is feeling like I'm the one who always is the black sheep, I make the mistakes, I can't do anything right, they need to hear this message, right? And if they're a Norman, there's a message that they need too.
Right.
Great. Great book, great tools.
And really every adult needs to read that book.
And I use this in my counseling as well. It's so good. It is so good. You have something else there?
Well, this was one that, because we did a lot of the Gary Smalley and John Trent stuff, like Five Love Languages, we ended up buying this, The Treasure Tree, and it basically goes over the four different temperament types. Mm-hmm. Each of these animals.
Helping kids understand their personality or temperament, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got the lion that's the leader and the otter that's just fun, loving, like a sanguine, and the beaver that's very organized, and I think that's phlegmatic, and then the golden retriever that is just sweet.
Friendly.
And friendly.
Mm-hmm. Loyal.
Uh-huh. She's melancholy. So this one's sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, melancholy. And it's just good for kids to should be able to discuss, you know, everybody's different, but everybody's wonderful.
Yeah.
And God made you that way, and that's basically what the
And kids need those those ways to identify who they are, so they don't think that, oh, that is better or that is worse, but they understand we all have these great gifts that we have, and we should celebrate them all. Again, great stories to illustrate great points. This is a book that was Rosella Groves introduced me to this book not too long ago. It's called Seeds and Trees, and I love this book because a lot of the counseling that I do is centered around what I call the core story. It's finding the lies in our background that shape us. It's the misunderstandings about ourselves and others and about God sometimes that shape us as adults, and they become toxic because they're wrong and they need to be corrected with the truth. And this book about seeds and trees is that information. It is wonderful. And if kids read this or it's read to them and they understand these principles when they're young, it will avoid a pile of grief down the road. And I love the way he concludes it when he finishes, because it's again, based in seeds of ideas and thoughts that were planted in this person, the character in the book, and how another character comes along and begins to uncover or dig out those old roots, those old seeds of belief, and replace them with new seeds of truth and goodness. And so the author's tagline at the end is, be careful what you water, for it will surely grow. And such wisdom in that we have to be careful what we believe and what we're taught, because it's going to take root and it's going to grow. So Seeds and Trees by Brandon Walden, wonderful, helpful tool right there. And well illustrated. I don't know if we can see from far away, but just great illustrations are really important. And there's not a lot of text in some of these books, and so it's great for certain ages to be able to stick with it pretty quickly. But then there's other age groups, and some are entertained for a while with these stories, but then later on there's a need for more. And so we're going to have a fuller list in the section after this for people. But I like biography. At a certain point. And so the way to begin that kind of lightly, here's a book, Hero Tales by David and Nita Jackson. And it's little short stories of true stories from Christian heroes. So it's little short biographical stories that are just a few pages long that introduce people like Amy Carmichael and George Mueller and Hudson Taylor and some of these characters. But they're little short versions, so they can be read in just a few minutes of time. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of illustration in them. Mainly text, but the story is great. So it's for a little bit older kiddos. And there's another one that's...
My kids love those because it's a real engaging story.
And they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're well written. Mm-hmm. And they're true. So our kids begin to get some new heroes. I mean, it's okay to have Superman and Captain America and the Hulk as your hero, but they need these heroes because these are the true champions of life and their decisions they've made, and kids will model those. I mean, you just watch a boy, just watch the Hulk throw things around, you see if he's not jumping around the house trying to break stuff before long because he thinks he's the Hulk. There's another book I thought of called From Jerusalem to Eerie and Giants, thicker. But it's a whole series of like anywhere from two column to a page long stories of the move of Christians from Jerusalem all the way to Eerie and Jaya of mission work and of outreach all the way through there. And it's the stories that are tremendous. And they're really short, but you can read those just every night or two, read some of those. Do you have some biographies that you want to mention?
I was trying to remember some of the books that we read that we love so much. These aren't biographies, but we love the Wing Feather series. That's kind of more new. That's Andrew Peterson. Yeah. And that's kind of more fantasy, but like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Hobbit.
Which those are good
stories,
reads, too.
Yeah.
The Wing Feather series, great.
Because we had so many boys, I read things like Little Men and Farmer Boy instead of, well, we ended up reading all of the Little House books, but we never did read Little Women. Hannah did. So I can't remember all of them. There was one that we've read over and over, Mara, Daughter of the Nile. It's from Egypt. And it's historical fiction.
I even read it twice myself.
We love historical fiction. That was our best way of learning history.
I was thinking about a few of the biographies that I have encouraged young people to read, teenagers to read. One is To the Golden Shore. It's about Adoniram Judson.
That one.
It's a very thick one, that's right. But a good read, and it's about the first Americans to leave America and go as missionaries to another country. They went to Burma. And, you know, America was initially, it was the mission point, and others came here to evangelize. But then the first American missionaries, story about them going out, and they were 16 to, I think, 21 years old.
Wow.
And they left on a boat and left their families forever, to not expecting to return.
It'd be so hard.
And it's the boat ride, it's the difficult journey, it's a true story from their journal entries. It's called To the Golden Shore, Adoniram Judson. It's amazing.
What's that one about the guy, Bruchko?
Bruchko. Bruchko, about Bruce Olson, who went to Colombia as a missionary, a teenager as well. And all that happened to him when he got there, and his mission board that was supposed to receive him didn't know he was on his way. And they didn't accept him, and they left him, they kicked him out. And he's stuck down in Colombia. And what's he going to do? It's the story of Bruchko. True story from the 1960s. And boys love this story.
Yeah, it's very good.
Boys love it. It's jungle. It's adventure. It's exciting. And it's faith. And then there's Hudson Taylor, who at 16 decided that he would be a medical doctor in order to be a missionary in China. And it's his story.
We like the missionary stories.
Yeah, we
but
do.
I think everybody will like them.
Yeah. There's stories like of, there's so many. We'll list a lot of them in our minutes there. And our notes after this. So there are so many things. Is there a message that you would like to give to parents? Maybe some feedback from our kids, or some message? Did you just say this is when it comes to reading to your children? I want you to know this, or here's what I would have to say.
It takes time, but it's worth it. Invest that time with them, sitting with them, just like the storytelling that we were talking about with Talon, just the last video cast. It's so sweet to have your kids just right up there next to you, looking at a book or telling a story, and you're making memories. We were just learning from Tim that there's this book, Enchanted Hour. It talks about the studies that have been done to show how a child's brain is just all lit up when they're actually sitting with the parent. And that book is called Enchanted Hour, The Miraculous Power of Reading Aloud in the Age of Distraction. And I think that's why it's so important, more than ever, that we be reading with our children mm-hmm. and spending that time. Mm-hmm. So do it.
It's powerful.
It's worth it.
So I encourage, we want to encourage all of you to begin reading to your children. There are great books out there. And I want to tell you this as well. There's a way to read the scriptures to your kids that you can make it come alive. Mm-hmm. And it's your enthusiasm in reading those stories to them that really light their brain up. Like you said, something happens when a parent is reading to a child. And so read scripture to them. Read the stories there. Read these stories full of good morals and teaching and education. And you enrich your child. You prepare them. Otherwise, if you put them in front of a TV or you turn them over to the video games and you turn their minds over to Frozen and Walt Disney and all of these things, then Disney has an agenda. And these other people who are writing and doing these other productions, they have agendas. And you just want to make sure that the agenda there is the one that you have. And I really believe that parents have the better thing in mind for their children and the better agenda. And actually, you have the chance to shape them yourself in a more powerful way than any of these externals do. So start early, read to them often, read exciting and good things, talk about them afterwards, and see if that doesn't enrich your relationship and prepare your children for life. It gives them tools to work with. So God bless all of you. Check out in the comments below. There's going to be some material there for you, a reading list of options for you to consider. So God bless us and God bless you until we meet again for another Restoring Home.